The end of the chapter, Krishna gives some very valuable instructions. Of course, all his instructions are valuable. I don't have a Gita. Maybe it's here. I have it. He describes the importance of yoga. Yoga means to link with the Supreme. So, it is the goal. If we read in text 46. No, I don't have a Gita here. Sorry about that. You can read that. Because the principle of yoga is that we can purify ourselves and get out of the material world. So the yogi is glorified in the Gita. I remember once Prabhupada personally said to me, I said something about yogi, he said something about, but who is a yogi? In other words, in the modern day, we don't find very many real yogis. But the system is there. So Krishna says, Tapashvi bhyo indiko yogi, jnani bhyo pi mato dakya takaha, karma vyas charigo yogi, tasmat yogi bhavarjuna. A yogi is greater than the aesthetic. So how is that? He's greater than the aesthetic. Maybe we should stop. Om jnana timirandasya janagana salakayam chaksus militam jena tasmai shi gurave namaha shi chaitanya manubitam shapitam jena gutale tayam upakaramaya dadatvi svaparantikam shi krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shi adaita gadara shi vasari gaura bhaktivinda hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So the yogi is better than the aesthetic, greater than the empiricist, and greater than the fruitive worker. Therefore, O Arjuna, in all circumstances, be a yogi. So, what is the empiricist? Is the jnanis, the fruitive workers, or the karmis, the aesthetics? They're performing tapa. Tapasis, the austerities. But what is the goal of all of this? At least with the yogis, they can come to see that the Lord is in their heart. In other words, the bona fide yoga process, just like Dhruva Maharaj was performing yoga process. He was searching out the Lord in his heart. And because of his determination, and because he had the bona fide spiritual master, he was able to see the Lord in his heart. And then his meditation broke and the Lord was present directly in front of him. So let's see what Prabhupada says about this purport. When we speak of yoga, we refer to linking our consciousness with the Supreme Absolute Truth. Such a process is named differently by various practitioners in terms of the particular method adopted. When the linking process is predominantly in fruitive activity, it is called karma yoga. When it is predominantly empirical, it is called jnana yoga. And when it is predominantly in devotional relationship to the Supreme Lord, it is called bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, or Krishna consciousness, is the ultimate perfection of all yogas, as will be explained in the next verse. The Lord has confirmed herein the superiority of yoga, but he has not mentioned that it is better than bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga is full spiritual knowledge, and therefore nothing can excel it. Asceticism without self-knowledge is imperfect. Empiric knowledge without surrender to the Supreme Lord is also imperfect. And fruitive work without Krishna consciousness is a waste of time. Therefore, the most highly praised form of yoga performance mentioned here is bhakti yoga, and this is still more clearly explained in the next verse. So empiric knowledge without surrender to the Supreme Lord is also imperfect. For this is our goal. We want to become surrendered to the Supreme Person. So there is a process how to become surrendered. It's also mentioned in the 15th chapter, the surrendering process. So just like anything else, if we don't follow the process, we won't be successful. And the process begins by hearing, just like now, you're hearing. Just by sitting and hearing this subject matter, you make advancement. But there's some austerity involved. We see many people are not hearing, right? They're chit-chatting. This is the tendency. We don't like to sit and hear. We think, what do I have to learn? I already know. But this is the most important point, hearing. Beginning, shravanam, kirtanam. And then what do we have to hear? We have to hear from the right source. That also. We hear so many things in the course of our day. How much is this? How much is that? And what's happening with the weather, the politicians, and so on. But we should hear from the self-realized soul. That kind of hearing will be punya shravanam kirtanam. This will be the most auspicious kind of hearing. Therefore, Prabhupada stressed on this. And he wanted us to get up early because Brahma Muhurta hour is the best time for hearing. When we're chanting, we're hearing and chanting, this is the ideal time. And by taking this process, as it was given by the self-realized perfect being, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, if we take it sincerely, then we'll be very happy. This is the first symptom. You become happy. Prabhupada was asked, are you hippies? He said, no, we're happies. Everybody's looking for happiness, but we're looking on the wrong side. happiness. Because anandamaya vyasyat, by nature we're joyful. Now we don't feel that joy because we're out of harmony with our real self. How do we get out of harmony? Because we put ourselves in the center. And how do we get back in harmony? By putting Krishna in the center. Simple for the simple, Prabhupada used to say. So why can't we take the process simply as Prabhupada gave it? Because we're not so simple. We have an agenda. First we have to satisfy this need and that need and this need and that need, and then we'll become serious about it. And that way the whole life goes, and then we've missed the opportunity. So not guaranteed just because we're connected with ISKCON, we're going to back to Godhead. We have to become qualified, determined, like Dhruva Maharaj. What was Dhruva Maharaj? He was just a young boy, but he was so determined that even Narada Muni was awestruck. Or what do they say? In modern people, they call it awesome. That's awesome. So he was, even Narada Muni was awestruck by Dhruva Maharaj's determination. And when he was leaving, he said, I have seen now the Kshatriya spirit in this boy. He's so determined. Because when Narada first approached him, he said, why have you left your palace? You should go home. It wasn't a big thing, some little insult from your stepmother. Now they've forgotten about it. They're worried about you. Just go home. But he was, no. My mother told me I could find God in the forest, and I'm going to. So if you can help me, that's nice. Otherwise, I'm not leaving this forest. This is the determination. So we have to have that kind of determination. In other words, there's some discount is there. Kali Yuga, Lord Chaitanya is the most magnanimous incarnation. But still, some qualification from our side has to be there. We have to be serious about taking the process as it's being given to us. Not adding or subtracting. Not watering down. This is the tendency. We think that we're so intelligent we can improve on the perfect system. So, this was never Prabhupada's qualification. He always used to say, my only qualification is I took the order of my spiritual master as my life and soul. He never tried to improve on the philosophy that's given. It's already there. It's given. Dharma tu shaksha bhagavat pranitam. It's coming from God. All we have to do is repeat it purely without our own signature, and then sincere people will be attracted. Because Krishna is in their heart. And Krishna will tell them, this person is representing me. You should hear from him. So we're looking for sincere. Prabhupada used to stress on this point. We don't want any millions of followers, star-like followers. We want one moon that can light up the whole night. That was Prabhupada's mood. Giriraj Maharaj told me how when they were in having these pandals in Bombay, 50,000 people were coming, and Prabhupada was speaking. And it was at a time when the politics in India was like changing. Indira Gandhi was in disfavor for some time. The new party was coming. And Giriraj said, Prabhupada could have easily become the Prime Minister of India. All he had to do is say, you know, water it down a little bit for the masses. You know, okay, you can sometimes have beedies or, you know, have a... But Prabhupada was uncompromising. And so people couldn't take it. Because how can I give up smoking beedies? How can I give up drinking tea? Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta on his deathbed, don't be discouraged that this movement is not so mass movement, mass following. It'll never be a mass following. Because these rules are the regulations are there. People say, what is this? I'm an adult. I don't have to do what they say. No illicit sex. That's crazy. I can't even have illicit sex with my own wife. You know, people won't. Then it's not going to be like millions of people coming here like we're the Beatles or something and everybody's sort of following. And no. Don't expect that. But first qualification to save yourself. Therefore, we should take it very seriously. That's the philosophy. Philosophy is simple. But the application is a little difficult. Why is that? Because our habit is there. We'd rather chit-chat than sit in a sober class like this. Or who wants to hear somebody lecturing? Let's talk about whatever it is they're talking about. Right? There's so many things to talk about. And they're kind of quasi-Krishna conscious. But Prabhupada stressed on this. I remember in Paris, some of the GBC didn't come to the Prabhupada's lecture. And he probably immediately was annoyed. Even once in Japan with me, he stopped and said, where is Trivikram Swami? Why is he not here in class? I had to use the toilet at the time. And I was missing from the class. And then when I came back, I said, sorry, Prabhupada. He said, yes, you should be here. So he wanted us. This is Nitya Yukta Upashite. Always hearing, regularly hearing. Not just say, oh, I know the philosophy. No. Because this is Maya's kingdom. Once when Prabhupada came to London, 1969, we know the three household couples was there. Well, one of the ladies, Janaki, the wife of Mukunda, when Prabhupada came in, like for the first time and having darshan, all of us who were there, it was the next morning, he came on the plane in the evening, and then there was a little program, but the next morning, everybody came to see Prabhupada. And, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, only devotees were there. So, Janaki said in a very emotional way, maybe some of you know how women sometimes can be emotional, but she, with love, she said, Prabhupada, you're so wonderful. You want to save the whole world. And just completely, out there, extended herself. And everybody was silent. You know, we could see, how is Prabhupada going to respond to this? And Prabhupada became very, he was always dhira, always sober, but he was just, exhibited that mood, and he said yes, in a humble way, he said yes. But this is Maya's kingdom. It's not so easy. So we want to save the whole world. Yeah, we want to be like popular, let everybody come, millions of people. But as soon as we say no illicit sex, no intoxication, then we'll lose 95% of the people say, yeah, this is not for me. So don't be discouraged by that. That's my point. Don't be discouraged. Go on, make the first business to save yourself. It's not like a political movement. We have to capture the government, otherwise we won't have any voice. No. Save yourself And then sincere people will also appreciate these people. That's what attracted me in the beginning. I was more like an impersonalist, and, you know, the philosophy was a little too much. Krishna, God is a blue boy. I wasn't so attracted to that. But I saw two things. The people were really sincere. These people are serious about what they're doing. You know, it wasn't a joke. I could see that. And the second thing, of course, prasadam. I mean, the prasadam was far out. Huh? And I liked the kirtan. So somehow, I began to hear the philosophy regularly, and then I became convinced. And it's required. I remember in the early days, one devotee left, and Prabhupada said, they never understood the philosophy. So it's important. Prabhupada took so much trouble to translate these books, staying up in the middle of the night. These are my emotional ecstasies, these purports. So we should read them, appreciate them. Maybe I should do that now. I didn't finish this. I was going to do the last verse. I'll just read the translation. Of all yogis, and of all yogis, the one with great faith who always abides in me, thinks of me within himself, and renders transcendental loving service to me, he is the most intimately united with me in yoga, and is the highest of all. That is my opinion. So sometimes the middle six chapters are considered the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So this is the end of the first introduction, you can say, six chapters. There's 18 chapters, so now we're going to start seventh chapter, is the essence from 7 to 11. Is it 7, 8, what's the 6? 12, through 12, thank you. So, and the 10th chapter is the 9th chapter, probably considered the most important chapter, the very middle of Bhagavad Gita. And 10th chapter, of course, the nutshell verses are there. So here's the end of the introduction. Now Krishna's saying, yes, be a yogi, and if you want to be the best yogi, then just do it with remembrance of me. Purport, the word bhajate is significant here. Bhajate has its root in the verb bhaj, which is used when there is need of service. The English word worship cannot be used in the same sense as bhaj. Worship means to adore or show respect and honor to the worthy one. But service with love and faith is especially meant for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One can avoid worshipping a respectable man or a demigod and may be called discourteous, but one cannot avoid serving the Supreme Lord without being thoroughly condemned. Every living entity is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus every living entity is intended to serve the Supreme Lord by his own constitution. Failing to do this, he falls down. The Bhagavatam 11.5.3 confirms this. Anyone who does not render service and neglects his duty unto the primeval Lord, who is the source of all living entities, will certainly fall down from his constitutional position. So this is our position. We've fallen down. And we're in the land of exploitation. So it's easy to remain fallen. Because as we're mentioning, it's popular to be a sense gratifier. Those who are interested in sense gratification are exalted in this culture. And if you have no interest, you're considered strange. So we're always going to be considered strange. But this is the qualification for getting out of the material world. In the beginning, I remember we were chanting in New York in the early days and going out on the street, and people would always say, you know, you're crazy. You people are crazy. And so much so that Prabhupada wrote a little pamphlet, Who is Crazy? Yeah, it's still there, I'm sure. Because devotees were coming, well, Prabhupada, how was the chanting? It was nice, but people think we're crazy, Prabhupada. And yes, so he wrote this little pamphlet, Who is Crazy? Just like if you go to insane asylum, and somebody there who is thinking that he's Napoleon, really thinks he's Napoleon, then you know, this guy's crazy, right? Or Jesus Christ or something. So people are thinking, I'm this body, I'm Mr. Smith, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm old, American, Indian, whatever. That means they're crazy. This is the first craziness. You think you're your body. Isn't it? Everybody's crazy on that point. So beginning teaching is aham brahmasmi. I'm not this body. I'm pure spirit. Dehi no smin yutha dehi. The body is changing, but I'm the same. I'm observing that change. So we have to be convinced about that. Then we won't be disturbed if people insult us. So what? We know we're doing the right thing. Everybody's convinced about that. We're doing the right thing. Sometimes it doesn't seem like the result is coming as we might expect, but we're becoming purified just by the endeavor. Man proposes, God disposes. We can't demand that we're going to get this result. No. But we can be confident that if we're sincerely trying to represent the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, then Krishna will be pleased with us. This is the process. Following in the footsteps. Mahajana Yenikatasa Panta. This is our process. To follow in the footsteps. So Prabhupada came out on his own, on the order of his spiritual master. So we should also not be afraid to go out. And we'll see that Krishna will help us. Krishna will carry what we lack. He promises he'll preserve what we have. So therefore, remain preaching. I'm happy to hear how you're having these Rathiyatra festivals and so many festivals originating from here. This is certainly pleasing to Prabhupada. Sometimes people criticize, oh, Alachua is just like a retirement community. People go there they don't want to preach or something. But it's not true. You see, so much preaching is here. So assist in the preaching. College preaching, so many preachings are there. Preach to people and bring them here. You have beautiful temple, beautiful deity, nice community. I have to appreciate the kirtan here. We don't have so many people in Orlando. We have kirtan, but it's nice to be when there's so many devotees taking part. It gives a more transcendental experience. So don't be discouraged and extend yourself. That was Prabhupada's qualification. He was bold. Nobody invited him to come to America, but he took the risk against all odds. Heart attack, had to take a boat, no money, no contact in America practically, a distant acquaintance in Pennsylvania somewhere who Prabhupada had never met. But he took that risk. So preaching means there's some risk is there. We may be insulted. We may be ridiculed. Right? How many times have those who go out and preach, they'll say, why don't you get a job? At least now, I have an answer for that. When they ask me, why don't you get a job? This happened about a couple of years ago. Somebody said, what are you doing here? Why don't you get a job? I said, I'm getting Social Security. You're the one who has to work. So when you get to be my age, then there's some advantages. So Prabhupada used to say, you know, it's a little troublesome in the beginning, but it gets sweeter and sweeter. Krishna also says like that. And even in the beginning, the service is sweet. My sweet Lord. We have the deities. We have the prasadam. So many nice things. From the very beginning, we don't have to feel this is so austere, so difficult. Well, this is a long purport. Should I keep reading? Or? Okay. In this verse, also the word bhajante is used. Therefore, bhajante is applicable to the Supreme Lord only, whereas the word worship can be applied to demigods or any other common living entity. The word avrajananti, used in this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam, is also found in the Bhagavad Gita, avrajanti mamudha. Only the fools and rascals deride the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. Such fools take it upon themselves to write commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita without an attitude of service to the Lord. Consequently, they cannot properly distinguish between the word bhajante and the word worship. So this is true. There's one group here, they have in Orlando, it's a big group, Shinmayananda Vision. They have their Gita. But in the Gita, the guru openly says that when Krishna says mom, he doesn't mean me, a person. He openly says, Not, it's not to the son of Devaki that you have to surrender to. So they twist Bhagavad Gita. I saw personally how Prabhupada was most disturbed by this than anything. Those who took Bhagavad Gita and twisted out some other meaning from it. The meaning is clear. Manmana Bhava, become my devotee. Bhakti Mama Vijananti, surrender unto me, become, take up devotional service. But they changed that to mean something impractical. The culmination of all kinds of yoga practice lies in bhakti yoga. All other yogas are meant to come to the point of bhakti yoga. Yoga actually means bhakti yoga. All other yogas are progresses towards the destination of bhakti yoga. From the beginning of karma yoga to the end of bhakti yoga is a long way to self-realization. Karma yoga without fruit of result is the beginning of this path. When karma yoga increases in knowledge and renunciation, this stage is called jnana yoga. When jnana yoga increases in meditation on the supersoul by different physical processes and the mind is on him, it is called astanga yoga. And when one surpasses the astanga yoga and comes to the point of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, it is called bhakti yoga, the culmination. Actually, bhakti yoga is the ultimate goal. But to analyze bhakti yoga minutely, one has to understand these other yogas. The yogi who is progressive is therefore on the true path of eternal good fortune. One who sticks to a particular point and does not make further progress is called by that particular name. Karma yoga, jnana yoga, dhyana yoga, raja yoga, hatha yoga, etc. If one is fortunate enough to come to the point of bhakti yoga, it is to be understood that he has surpassed all other yogas. Therefore, to become Krishna conscious is the highest stage of yoga. Just as when we speak of the Himalayas, we refer to the world's highest mountains, of which the highest peak, Mount Everest, is considered to be the culmination. So here we see Prabhupada unabashed. He's not embarrassed about saying we have the best thing. Sometimes that book was there, right? You're okay, I'm okay. Prabhupada's comment was no. I'm okay, you're not okay. He wasn't shy about his position. He knew what his position was, that he was the best of the yogis, that he was empowered by Krishna directly and his spiritual master, Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, to spread this mission all over the world. So he wasn't bashful. At the same time, he was very humble. Why was he? How is it possible to be so humble and still so bold? Because he knew he was just repeating. He was just a representative. Once in London, Prabhupada was giving a Bhagavad Gita class, 1969, in that little temple. So we were all sitting close, a small temple room. And Prabhupada was saying how the spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. And when he said that, I kind of got like a mystical vision. You know, once in a while that happens, right? You get something. It's like otherworldly. And I suddenly saw that Prabhupada was not just an ordinary person, but that he was really representing Krishna. And he was just standing right in front of me, and I was thinking, wow, this is far out. And it was like important for me. So the next day, I was going to give a massage to Srila Prabhupada. That was my service. Every morning, 11 o'clock. So when I came into Prabhupada's room, it was at very place. I came into Prabhupada's room and I said, Srila Prabhupada, I very much like your class last night. And Srila Prabhupada, he was always so personal. He said, oh, what part did you like? And I said, Prabhupada, the part where you said that the spiritual master was a representative of Krishna, and that you were a representative of Krishna. And when I said that, Prabhupada really liked that. I mean, he just took it 100%. And then, as Prabhupada's way, as he was always doing, he reciprocated. And he said, you also can be representative of Krishna. He said, when you say Krishna said, or Prabhupada said, he used his own name, then you are also representing Krishna. So he appreciated that. Another time, I can tell you at the same time frame, Prabhupada was displeased because I was flattering him. the story was that he had just come to London. It was the first public program, maybe 300 or 400 people, mostly Hindus. And Prabhupada had to be very bold. Like there was one man who was interrupting and saying about Lord Shiva or something, and Prabhupada told him, "Sit down, you are nonsense." In a big public hall, you know, Prabhupada was speaking like that, so forcibly. So it was a series of lectures, and the next day I was giving a massage, and we had never seen Prabhupada like that, you know, because he was very humble. But he, when he was challenged like that, he was just like fire. And so we were kind of awestruck, and we were massaging him, and I was thinking, like I was trying to get him in shape for another knockout performance, you know, massaging and talking and massaging, and suddenly Prabhupada said, "No!" Really, like my hands froze on his body. And then he said with another voice, like a 6-year-old child, he said, from way inside of him, he said, "I am just a humble servant." And it made me feel so, well, it had a mind-read, I mean, a whole bunch of realizations. The first realization was, I shouldn't even be in the same room with this person. He's such an aristocrat, and I'm just, you know, from New York, I'm picked up off the street. What to speak of being allowed to touch his body? I shouldn't be even in the same room with him. And he's so pure, so humble. And so then I remember feeling I should go under the rug. So that was Prabhupada. He could make us feel humble just by being himself, because he was so humble. At the same time, so bold that he can openly say that, yes, you should come to my feet. Srila Prabhupada ki. We're almost finished. It is by great good fortune that one comes to Krishna consciousness on the path of bhakti yoga to become well situated according to Vedic direction. Who knows that verse? Great good fortune. Bhagyavana. I was thinking, is it that? I couldn't hear too well. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, that's it. Bhagyavana. Great good fortune. The ideal yogi concentrates his attention on Krishna, who is called Shyamasundara, who is as beautifully colored as a cloud, whose lotus-like face is as effulgent as the sun, whose dress is brilliant with jewels, whose body is flower garland, illuminating all sides in his gorgeous luster, which is called the Brahma Jyoti. He incarnates in different forms, such as Rama, Narsingha, Varaha, and Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he descends like a human being as the son of Mother Yasoda. He is known as Krishna, Govinda, and Vasudeva. He is the perfect child, husband, friend, and master. And he is full with all opulences and transcendental qualities. If one remains fully conscious of these features of the Lord, he is called the highest yogi. This stage of yoga perfection can be attained only by bhakti yoga, as confirmed in the Vedic literatures. Unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed. Svete Svatara Upanishad 6:23. Bhakti means devotional service to the Lord, who is free from the desire for material profit either in this life or in the next. Devoid of such inclination, one should fully absorb the mind in the Supreme. That is the purpose of Nishkarma. These are some of the means for performance of bhakti or Krishna consciousness, the highest professional stage of the yoga system. So what is our such great fortune that we met such a person as Srila Prabhupada, who was at that level of highest level. So we can somehow try to repay him by representing him, by preaching. He wanted us to preach. Don't be afraid to preach. Krishna will help you. Whenever there's opportunity, talk about Krishna. You'll find that people like it. They're lost. And those who don't, that's okay. We can avoid them. Because you're not full-time preachers, most of you, but you'll meet people during the course of the day. So bring up Krishna. I mean, don't be full-hearted, but full-headed or stupid. But you'll see opportunity will come. People will want to know. This is our mission, to try to spread this Krishna consciousness. We have such a valuable thing. If we just keep it, you know, to ourselves, then how will people know about Prabhupada? Okay, any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Prabhupada came here, you mentioned Prabhupada came here almost 50 years ago, and he had nothing, he had no money. He came on a boat, heart attack, and he said that he was successful because for a few sincere boys and girls who helped him. You were one of those boys and girls that helped him.
Yeah, well, I always felt I was getting more help than I was giving.
He said that wherever he orders you to go, you go. So my question is, when he orders you to go back to Godhead, do you go there?
Is this guy a ringer or what? You're a plant in this crowd, I think. Yes, he's ordering everyone. But we have to be serious to take up that order. Any other questions on Balavanta Prabhu Ki? Yeah, they're trying to know everything. Bhavanam jamanam mate jnanamam apapadyante vasudeva sarvamiti samahamasadulava. These jnanis, they're trying to collect knowledge, but only after many, many lifetimes they may be fortunate to meet a devotee who can explain that vasudeva sarvamiti, that Krishna is everything. Why are you looking here, there? Krishna is there in your heart. Come and surrender. Krishna's there in the Bhagavad Gita. Here's all the perfect knowledge is here. Then you won't be deviated. Everything is here. Perfect knowledge. Just study this one book, Bhagavad Gita, from cover to cover. You have perfect knowledge. So why do you have to go looking here, how many atoms there are in the whatever? People are trying to acquire knowledge that way. Ultimately, it won't benefit them. So knowledge should bring us to the point of surrender. Not just knowledge for knowledge's sake. Like the mathematicians or others, they like to think that they're very pure because they're just studying for the sake of it. But we see that that's also some kind of vanity. I'm so learned. I'm so wise. If you're really wise, then Tesham Saratam Yuktanam Bhajatam Priti Purvakam Dadami Buddha Yogam Tam Yena Mamupiyam. Those who are really wise, they surrender. I give them the intelligence that they can come to me. In other words, the really wise person realizes that it's only mercy that I have. It's only my mercy. The mercy coming from above is the only thing that, because I'm availing myself, therefore I've come out a little successful. That was Prabhupada's move. So we all can follow and have that same success. Not that maybe as like Prabhupada had, but we can be successful according to our capacity. We can be fully successful according to our capacity. Prabhupada was extraordinarily endowed, but we can, according to our capacity, we also become pure devotees. Not like the Christians think, oh, Christ is the only one pure, therefore make him God, and we go on sinning. No, Prabhupada wanted us to become sinless. That will be our perfection. Why can't we become sinless? The only way we remain sinful, we think Maya is more attractive than Krishna. But that's not a fact. When we come on the side of the Krishna side, then we can give up these things. Give up lust and greed. We see them as chewing the chewed. Prahlad describes it. No more taste is there. Isn't that so? Who's realized? Right there. Some of you have that experience. You lose interest. What are you going to see? Otherwise, up until the end of life, they're going to the naked dance and whatever. Prabhupada was ridiculing. He said, I saw in Paris the old men are waiting to go to the nightclub, pay $50 to see the young girl. You're never finished. It goes on and on. But when you see Shyam Sundar on the altar so beautifully dressed, then you can get a higher taste. Okay, we'll stop here. One more. Go ahead.
Araja, you were mentioning at the beginning of the class that just being in Krishna consciousness doesn't mean that you're safe.
Well, if you're in Krishna consciousness,
it is called. Okay. You know, I mean, in general, you know, a lot of people, when they turn into Krishna consciousness, or say, look into Krishna consciousness, like you were saying, that for them it's just too difficult to understand, you know, how can I give up all these things, you know, to be able to worship or God or be with God. And then they turn to maybe take a religion like maybe Christianity, where they can feel that we can be sinful, because if we believe in Jesus, then we can be safe. Now, I mean, what hope do we have, for example, I'm talking mostly more for the youth of the movement, you know, because a lot of the proper disciples, and I mean, we're all getting older, and, you know, eventually we all be fading away from this movement, and then what is coming behind is the youth generation. So to be able to encourage them, you know, that, you know.
The best encouragement is by setting example. Youth, I mean, old age is an advantage. What is the problem? Age is always an advantage. If Prabhupada wasn't elderly, we probably wouldn't have respected him as much. So being old is not a liability. But if you're not Krishna conscious, that's a liability. But who is stopping you from being Krishna conscious? It gets easier because you can't see so well. Can't see the beautiful women, so is it? Just kind of like a little blurry there. And you get a higher taste. It's true. Come into the kirtan. Kirtan is the easiest way to get a higher taste. Then you see that these other things are not so substantial. And then the young people will follow. I mean, it's a gradual process. We're not condemning anybody. Okay, we don't have a sign here, you have to follow four regular principles or you're not welcome to come to the temple. Everybody's welcome, but if people are serious, then they'll become quickly advanced and others will appreciate. Let us become like him, he's advancing. Let us become like her. Old or young. Krishna consciousness has no age limit. Even a young child, if they're very Krishna conscious, we're attracted. An old person, if they're Krishna conscious, we're attracted. Krishna consciousness is the attractive feature. And then people will be able to give up their lesser taste. But we should take it seriously, and then we'll see that, yes, we are making progress. That should be the test. How we're getting the mercy of Lord Nityananda means how we're losing interest in lust and greed and anger. If that's not happening, we're doing something wrong. Therefore, we should take shelter. We should get Guru, Sadhu, Shastra. We can get guidance from them. What am I doing wrong? We don't care if we do something wrong. That's another thing. Prabhupada used to give the example of the rocket scientist. When the rocket blew up, then they became upset. Oh, what did we do wrong? And they really tried to find out. And they get, well, we do something wrong every day. We make the same mistake over and over, but we don't think seriously. What am I doing wrong? Maybe there's something wrong with me, that it always happens that this, I get too angry, it always happens. Why don't we improve ourselves? That's up to us. It's always individual and voluntary. Prabhupada gives the example of the birds flying in formation. There's one lead bird. We have our leader, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, Lord Chaitanya. But if we don't also flap our wings, what is the use of having a leader? We have to carry. Okay, we'll stop here. Bhagavad Gita ki. Well, thank you very much for listening so attentively. Hare Krishna. Where's that Balavante? Don't let him slip out.